I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next on opening items is roll call, and I see Mark Snyder will not be here because of family. And anybody know about Dan?
He's...
Well, I guess as of now, I guess he's not here then. Next on the opening items is citizen input. If there's any citizen here that would like to address the city council on city business, raise your hand. We'll give you up to 5 minutes. Okay, since we don't have any, next is approval of the agenda. And before we do, I'd like to ask whoever makes the motion if they would add an executive session about possible property purchase. So, approval of the agenda.
I'll make that motion with the addition of an executive meeting following property purchase.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Gina, second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. Consent agenda, I hear a motion on that to approve it.
I so move.
Okay, Ken.
I'll second.
Okay, second. Any discussion on that? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Okay, opposed, the same. All right, that passes. Public hearing on the 6-year street plan. Eamon?
Would you like to start with the script banner? I'll fill in.
Oh, okay. We start with that first. Okay. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. This public hearing is now open at 7:03 p.m. and is to receive a staff report and public comments on the city's 6-year transportation improvement program for 2012 to 2017. This public hearing is required by law. The 6-year street transportation improvement program has been drafted. And I will now ask staff to present the report.
Thank you, Mayor. Tonight we have a public hearing relative to the 6-year street plan. This is required by law to conduct a public hearing. And if you feel comfortable, next we'll ask for your adoption of the resolution, which is due to the state January or July 1st. Let me explain a little bit about the 6-year street plan before we kind of go through the items. The 6-year street plan is required by law for every city to submit to DOT. DOT then compiles all of the projects, really all of the dollars requested, and then they look at going to the state legislature for funding. So our list, although it's numbered 1 through 11, isn't really a priority list, it's a funding list. And when the state approves funding, if your project qualifies, depending on what project it is and the funding program it fits, we could fund number 6 before number 2, for example. So it's really not a priority list, it's a funding list. Whatever funding is available, our project has to be on the list. As you saw last year on the south end project, we had to amend our 6-year street plan to add it to the funding list, and then we got funded for the Moon Street project. So it's not a priority list, it's just a compilation of dollars and cents, so the DOT has some figure to go to the state legislature for. Again, our list, even though it's listed 1 through 11, isn't our priority list, it's really just a list. And we can amend it at any time that we want to, depending on the funding cycle. So we'll walk through the list quickly. Again, this is basically what the council adopted last year with one exception. And this is a list of funding for arterials. This isn't for like our neighborhood streets that we have our neighborhood street program funding for. It's for our arterials. So the first one is SR-26 at First Street, and that's ongoing with DOT, as you know. Scutney Street West. The next one is West Concrete Drive to realign that. with the opposing side on the other side of Broadway. North Broadway storm water, which is connected to the street, which is fundable through the street program. The turn lanes and approaches on SR 24, and that is something that has been directed by the state that if we improve South Broadway 24, we have to put center turn lanes in for the big trucks. They want all of that improved, so they will help fund that. That's why that one's on the list. Pipe EL is 68 or 88, 68 it looks like. Center line, this is ECBID, is a lead agency, and they've asked us to help them with funding. And then the next one is the East Concrete Drive upgrade, and that leads into the Port District property, their industrial site. The next one is the intersection at SR 28. Was that 26?
26.
26 and 7th. That one has been debated. 1 year we want to try to push that through. The next year we don't, depending on the administration, the complexity of the council. As you know, DOT has said that one they probably would not allow. But at one time we had an administration that wanted to push that with DOT, try to fund that. So if you're going to bounce one or rearrange the list, right now that would be a good one because DOT says no way are they going to allow that 7th Avenue to go through to 26. The last three are 7th Avenue and Columbia Street, and SR 24 industrial area improvements. As you know, we have a big project down there and hopefully we'll get some funding for that by having this on the list. And the new one that we added this year is Lee Road 7th to 14th, and that's a reconstruction project. And that was at the recommendation of Public Works that we're losing Lee Road in that area, and they don't want it to deteriorate further before we start to repair it. So with that, that concludes the staff presentation on the public hearing.
Thank you, Eamon. I want to ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. I will allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Okay, since there was no public comments, I will close the time for the public testimony. All right. Does any council members have comments or questions at this time? Want to add something, change something, anything like that? Okay, so I don't need any staff comments for that. Then I will, Ken, did you have something?
No, I had a little comment about the Highway 26 and 7th, but I think we can leave it on the list and we'll just debate it whenever it comes up or whatever. That's the only question I had. As far as the list, I think it's fine.
Okay, I will now close the public hearing at 7:09. All right, thank you. Get down to the next one. All right. Residents in that six-year plan. Number 4.2, resolution adopting the six-year street plan for 2010-2017. Amen.
This is an action item that we're asking the council to adopt the six-year street plan by way of resolution. Could you go to the resolution, Mike? I think this is the one that has an error on it. Nope, we got it fixed. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate that. The public hearing was held today, and the council duly considered the city's proposal transportation needs and asked that it be submitted to the state. So with that, I would ask that a motion be made to adopt the resolution.
Any questions? Okay, so do I hear a motion to adopt the six-year street plan?
So moved.
Charles first.
Second.
Gina second. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? All right, thank you. That passes then. All right, public hearing on the final petition of annexation Othello City Porcello School District. Let me get that up here real quick. Oops, I clicked all the way out. That wasn't good. Okay. Please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of the public hearing. Be sure you have signed up to be included in the record of attending this public hearing. A sign-in sheet is on the back table. This public hearing being held by the Othello City Council is to receive input concerning the Othello School District request for annexation. This public hearing is required by state law and is now open at 7:12 p.m. Everyone present will be given an opportunity to be heard. However, each person will be allowed to speak only once, up to 3 minutes. Does any council members have a financial or personal interest in this matter?
No.
Okay. I now ask the council members to place on the record the substance of any communications you have had with opponents or proponents on the matter, not including previous council decisions, review of staff documents, or communication with city staff. Does anybody have anything to give? No? Okay. Anyone in the public who has an objection to my participation or any council member's participation, please state now and give the reasons for the objection. Okay. Can the council members hear and consider this matter in a fair and objective manner? Everybody, yes?
Yes.
Okay. I will now give the applicant up to 10 minutes to present this request. And that was who? Who's doing that one, Eamon? Somebody here?
Daryl, the school board. I can either give you an overview of the petition, or we can hear directly from the school district.
Who would like to do it? Okay.
Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Daryl Piercy, city planner. As you've indicated in your opening remarks and the opening of this public hearing, the city has received a petition requesting annexation for property that is owned by the Othello School District. This is a single owner, single parcel request for annexation. And while the legal description is contained within the petition, it's 36 acres generally located on the southeast corner of 14th and Cemetery Streets. Again, this property is just outside the city limits. It's abuts and is directly across from 14th from the city limits of the city of Othello. It, as indicated in your previous discussion on this matter, you have accepted the petition for consideration, and it is now required under state law that you hold a public hearing and hear any comments in regards to the petition for annexation that you might have, or that the public might have. Upon the close of the public hearing, you will need to consider whether or not you'll move forward with the annexation. Should you decide to do so, we do have an ordinance prepared that would affect that decision and allow that to move forward to the county commissioners, who would be notified of the annexation and action taken by the city council. In terms of process, does the council have any questions? Is there any questions as to the specific piece of property or its location? Shown on the map here at this point.
Okay. Give me a minute. Where are we at on that map? Just to be sure.
Let's see. Okay, this is 14th running left to right on this map, and Cemetery Road right here. This is Scootney School. This is the junior high or the middle school, and this is the property boundary in question. City water tower is right there, just to give you a point of reference.
Thank you.
Any more questions for Eamon or Daryl?
Thank you.
Okay, like it says, the next one is the city staff will now present, explain the process and exhibits, but I guess you already did that, so. I'll now request any public testimony, questions, objections, protests, or support to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hands so I may recognize you. After I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone and state your name and address for the record. As this is a hearing, not a debate, this is your opportunity for public testimony. The process does not allow any opportunity for public test. The process does not allow any opportunity for public testimony. Okay. Any citizens that would like to come to the mic? Yeah. Go ahead.
Orland Favreau.
You need to speak into the mic there.
Orland Favreau. I'd just like to say that in behalf of the school district, we're looking forward to the annexation of this property so we can move ahead with a new school on that property in a time that's going to fit with what we're trying to get done in the time we're trying to get it done. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other citizens? Okay, city staff will now present further information and their recommendation.
Again, just to recap, your next step is before you for consideration will be an ordinance once we close the public hearing. Should you choose to move forward with the annexation, a motion to pass the ordinance would be appropriate, and that would begin the motion to annex the property into the city. The annexation would become effective 5 days from publication, and there is a requirement that the annexation action by the council be sent directly to the County Board of Commissioners to notify them of your actions, and that will be conducted upon your vote.
Okay, thank you. Well, the next question is the applicant may now respond. I guess we don't need to do that. Does any of the council members have comments or questions at this time? All issues and questions to the public and applicant may be clarified and asked at this time without expressing your opinions. Council members?
Does anybody know, did funding, state funding come through for this so the school is on track?
It's my understanding that it did.
Okay. So it's critical
they met the deadline
to keep the wheels turning.
Go ahead.
We don't know that. We won't know that until July. I thought they sent the word down. Well, never mind. It was a process, but it was submitted in time.
We will submit in time, but the state doesn't release the list of funded projects until about the middle of July.
So the school's still interested, though, in annexing, even if we don't get state funding. You want to keep the wheels turning.
That's correct.
Okay. Further questions or comments from council? Nope. Okay. If there are no other comments from the public on this matter, I will now give the applicant 5 minutes for closing comments, if you have any more you want to do. I have a script I have to read, so we're working through it. I would like to ask, that's where we're at, okay. I'd like to thank the applicant and the public for your involvement in this process. I will now close the public hearing at 7:20 p.m. Okay. Do I hear a motion to move to adopt an ordinance to annex property contained within the petition for annexation submitted by the Othello School District?
So moved.
Charles first.
Second.
Ken Kaler second. Any further questions? No? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes. All right, now we'll go to the next part of it. Okay, 4.4, ordinance providing for annexation of the new school district property. Daryl?
I believe that's the action you just took.
Is it? Did I miss something here?
You were on a roll. We don't want to stop.
I guess. Wow.
Keep going.
Keep going? All right.
Go to 5. You're on it.
4.5, ordinance relating to public regulations. Daryl.
Thank you again, Mayor, Council. Again, for the record, Daryl Piercy, City Planner. Before you for consideration is an ordinance that reflects discussion that took place at your workshop earlier this month in regards to modification of certain parking regulations for residential areas within the city of Othello. If you choose to adopt this ordinance, this will create Chapter 17.61.015 that will, in effect, provide for regulations for limiting the area in which vehicles will be able to park in their front yards. And this will include all existing lots. As we have discussed, those lots that are new lots are covered under a different section of the code. So as they're now created in the city, they have similar requirements in the code. This covers those lots that already exist or have been previously platted. In effect, what the ordinance will do will be limiting the area in which vehicles can park to an area that's 30 feet wide, the full length from street to the house. It will prohibit parking on vegetated areas or landscaped areas, including grass and other areas that aren't part of the designated parking area for any particular site. Again, we believe that this reflects the direction of the council at the study session and meets the intent and requirements of that discussion. Be happy to respond to any questions.
I feel like Mark.
It doesn't give, it sets the precedence, but it doesn't tell you where's the fine line. It doesn't tell you, yeah, they're parked on the lawn, but it's because it was monitored that they were parked on the lawn at 8 a.m. and all of a sudden we came back at 5 p.m. and they were still on the lawn. Where's that fine line? I mean, that's what, I mean, I need to know, or I'd like to know, how do we justify, the guy pulls up, he's going to load up a fridge, and he happened to leave it there for 2 hours, and all of a sudden he's getting cited with this ordinance. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. And of course, with any enforcement action, with any ordinance that we have in the code, the first level of action is always to seek discussion and compliance with the homeowner. So if we had a situation where our code enforcement officer was traveling about town and he noticed someone had parked their vehicle on a lawn, and it didn't appear as though, you know, something unusual was taking place, such as loading or moving or something like that, it would involve a discussion with that property owner to see if, in fact, he understands the rules and if, in fact, this is a violation, and to give that person an opportunity to come into compliance. So it isn't as though our code enforcement officer is out writing tickets at the first moment he sees an infraction. We always try to seek that compliance element first and work through many processes before there's actually a citation or an infraction issued. So I think just that normal, reasonable process of engaging with our citizens to seek compliance from all of our rules and regulations within the code would address your concern.
Okay. Gerald, isn't our defensive issue here the improved surface or not an improved surface? That was a discussion in the council last meeting.
Right.
This, but in the time frame on the lawn, it's on the lawn or improved surface.
Really, that is the line, is you're on the improved surface, but I do understand there are situations where somebody may have a need to pull up to their front door for something, and certainly our code enforcement folks will take reasonable and appropriate actions, including seeking voluntary compliance before we ever get into a true enforcement scenario.
That is, you know, and I get why it was put in place, I mean, obviously, but if there is that fine line, and it's going to be asked. You
got to
have some type of answer.
Sure. Ken?
I have one question here. I know we kind of referred this back to the Planning Commission, and I noticed that the Planning Commission recommended no action. Is there a reason for that, or did they figure that we've already covered from other ordinances, or what was their reasoning on that?
Well, you may recall the memorandum that came forward from the Planning Commission's review of this matter. A number of rationale that they gave indicating their desire to not change the current regulation. When we brought that back to council, it was council's feeling, at least collectively, that needed to be further reviewed. And so we did undertake those steps. I think in general, it's fair to say that the Planning Commission's concern was that when people move into a neighborhood, they have certain expectations, and then to change those expectations isn't something that they felt was appropriate. And then they also indicated that they were always cognizant of the fact that government tends to over-regulate, and they didn't want to put themselves in a position of recommending additional regulations for that purpose. So in general, I think that was their rationale. But they did list several points. I think there are four or five points within their memorandum that, they spoke to in that recommendation. But again, the council had an opportunity to consider that recommendation and chose to move forward with other considerations, which led us to the study session, which in turn led us to this evening with this single issue before you for consideration.
Go ahead. Not all council agreed with it, because I'm one that don't agree with it. I believe what we have currently on hand will work if given time and proper usage of it and letting it work. I believe that. From the beginning, I believe we had a couple circumstances that were pulled out, and that's why these changes are going on. And I don't think we could, every time we find a couple homes that we agree with, that we need to start changing our ordinances to try to correct their problem. We could go around and find situations all over the town that we could start changing our ordinances to correct certain situations that we don't like. I would think different if we had numerous complaints on this issue, but we haven't had numerous complaints on this issue. The only complaints I've heard is been the council itself, a few council members on the issue, but not citizens. The only citizen complaints I've heard is excess burden for them, overregulation, and I fully agree with the Planning Commission's direction. And I think we need to support the Planning Commission, because if we start going against their decisions all the time, we're going to start losing those members. We need to support them. That's all I got to say. You know, I still believe that our current one will work.
You know, I'm not opposed to the ordinance itself, but I'm opposed that it doesn't have language in there that sets a timeline. That's my biggest problem, is that we're making a rule, but we're not setting up the guidelines that go with the rule. We're just setting forth the rule. And that's kind of tough, and that's why I was asking. I said, what is the fine line?
That may be good for us, because we understand that that's what it's being told to us, but we all change spots eventually. Everybody changes spot. That might not be the same for the next administration or the how they interpret that rule down the road, 10 years down the road.
I personally would like to see some type of time factor in there where they could be, the vehicles could be identified and marked, and then therefore they can be monitored.
Well, one of the challenges that has on enforcement is that our enforcement officer cannot go on to private property and mark tires. If it's on public right-of-way, he can do that, but we can't enter on the public private property and identify through some marking or some other notification that a car is illegally parked. We can talk to the owner, and we can send out notices, but we can't physically go on and identify the vehicle. So that would be a challenge if we were to have a time period. The other issue is most of these parking situations happen in the evening hours, and there is movement of vehicles typically through the period of a work day. People will leave for work, come back, and park their car on the lawn, and so the time frame wouldn't be a full 24 hour, for example, typically, if you're thinking, you know, in terms of days. It's usually for just an evening period when a violation might occur. So again, I think the idea of having a designated area for parking has merit, and being able to work with property owners to seek compliance to use those designated areas is really what the goal of the ordinance is, not necessarily to create enforcement opportunities or citations. But I would be concerned about the ability to effectively enforce a time limitation.
I got to hear what Mark's got to say.
Well, I agree with Mr. Piercy. I mean, there's an ordinance that says no trucks over 10,000 pounds on public street or on residential streets. And if you go to a residential street and there's a truck there and it says Atlas Moving Van on the side, our officer doesn't jump out and give them a ticket. There's extenuating circumstances that police officer or code enforcement officer looks into. So I think that's the way it will happen. Some will be obvious when they have a foot of grass under them, it'll be obvious. Some might be pulled in there. I'm guessing if you got a citation, you go to court, don't you, or have that opportunity to state your case?
Actually, under our current process, you can either accept the citation, or if you challenge the citation, it goes before the hearing examiner.
Which
ultimately could go to the Superior Court. The idea was to create an opportunity for people to challenge city actions through a non-legal process that generally tends to be more citizen-friendly than having to go through a court system and deal with attorneys and other issues.
And the hearing examiner is an attorney, and they act as a neutral magistrate, but in a less formal setting so that it makes it more user-friendly for your citizens. But they do have an opportunity to call witnesses and present evidence and cross-examine even your city witnesses if they wish to. So it's a full due process here.
And who pays for the hearing examiner at that point?
They would. There's a filing fee to file an appeal that covers the city's costs in paying the hearing examiner.
Do we know an average cost to it, what that would possibly cost up to?
We don't have a lot of history on that, but I would suggest that a typical hearing would range from $200 to $500.
So the citation, besides the cost of the citation, and if a person decides to fight it, it could be an additional $500.
Potentially, which is, again, we make every effort through our enforcement process not to get to that level of review. We really work towards seeking compliance and working with property owners to bring their site into compliance with the code. Our goal isn't to run people out before the hearing examiner so we can go through that process. Up till now, since you've instituted the hearing examiner process, we have not had, and I don't believe we've had a single appeal that has gone to the hearing examiner. Prior to that, we have had appeals that have gone to the court, but we haven't had an appeal yet go to the hearing examiner.
This is a common code provision in a lot of our cities, and what I've seen in the past is this is targeted more towards your chronic violators, your repeat offenders, who don't have approved parking services, and so they use their front yards for basically their permanent parking service. So it's not a high priority for our code enforcement officers to go out and tag everybody who's got a vehicle on an unapproved parking service. They're going to be looking more for the ones that are chronic violators that really need to have at their residence an approved parking service for their cars that don't have it.
Have we got a count of how many chronic ones we have out there right now?
It certainly fluctuates because some we bring into compliance while others go out of compliance. I think we have, this is an estimate, we have somewhere between 12 and 18 active actions taking place regarding this issue.
And you said that we work with them with our current codes too, and you said that we get quite a few that come in compliant after we work with them.
You know, the reality is our compliance rate is about 99.9%. It's very rare that we get to a level of process that actually involves either a citation or the threat of a citation. Most of the property owners, once we have the discussion with them, once we identify in code where the requirements are, they're very cooperative and want to come into compliance. It's the rare exception that we have the difficult property owner where we have to fully utilize the extent we have for enforcement.
And that's why I think our current code. We need to let it work, give it some time. And, you know, we got a beautiful city. I've noticed the changes in the last few years. There's been a lot of pride in the community. And you could go down in that older neighborhood and look at how many renovations is going on with those older homes and how people are starting to clean them up. And it was a long time coming. It took a long time. But like I said, I really believe we need to give our current codes time to work. And I believe they will work. You said we're getting 99% compliance on that. There is those ones, I'll admit. There is those ones that you do got to fight. But eventually, I noticed the one on 4th Street. I drove by there earlier tonight. He was down to four cars. Legally parked. The only thing I seen out would have been a boat that was on the other side on a trailer.
And just to be clear, we get compliance with the codes that are in our statute, but this currently is not in our code book, so we can't seek enforcement on this particular issue. We can only seek voluntary compliance with a desire rather than a code.
Well, up to now, there has been no, I mean, I think there's somewhat of a disconnect. You're trying to clear up. There has been no comments to people with cars parked on their grass because there's no code or law against it.
So only where we see instances where they're damaging the curb or for some other reason creating a safety hazard, but simply parking on the grass, no, we do not approach them suggesting that that's not a good idea.
But we have an ordinance that prohibits driving over the curb, and if that's the case, we need to enforce that.
There's an ordinance that prohibits the damage to public property, and the curb is part of that. There's nothing that specifically says you can't drive over the curb. So it's a vague portion that we actually use. But if police saw somebody drive up over the curb, I don't think that they'd ticket them for that because it would be awfully hard to show damage at that particular moment. And it isn't necessarily illegal to drive over the curb. So I think that would be very difficult actually to enforce. And again, it's those areas where we see the damage. We don't actually see the damage occur, but we see the effect of the action. That's when we talk to the property owner and say, you know, you're causing some problems here, and we have to ask you not to do that.
So do I hear a motion?
On the form of motion, it's an ordinance number, mm-hmm. And it's blank.
Do we have an ordinance number?
We don't want to do that.
The motion would be an ordinance amending Othello Municipal Code to include Chapter 17.61.15 entitled Parking Existing Residential Lots. If you're looking for wording for a motion.
I so moved.
Okay. Mark Spohr first. Do we have a second? Okay, then the motion.
That's terrible, you people. If we can't improve this city and we stay in the hillbilly mode when our attorney has advised us that this is pretty common in this for other cities. It's terrible.
Okay, this motion failed then since we didn't get a second. And we will move on to 4.6, approval of use of city logo. And that's Eamon, I guess. Catherine, two of you.
At our last council meeting, Mrs. Faulkner, discussed with the council the use of the city logo on a city coloring book. At the time, the city council seemed pretty much in favor of letting her do that. This is solely the council's discretion to allow it or not to allow it, so you certainly could do that. We wanted to bring to the city's council attention just some options if you wanted to consider those. One would be the use of the white, red and white water tower, or a depiction of that, City Hall, a depiction of City Hall, or as you've seen in Mrs. Faulkner's artwork, she is very creative and perhaps she could adjust or amend the city logo in some fashion that wouldn't depict the official logo, but would be close. Those are just options we wanted to throw out to the council to see if you wanted to look at a direction, one of those directions, or again, you certainly have the authority to allow the use of the city logo. The concern is that if we start down this road and we approve it for one, then what about the next one and the next one? And without having standards on it, then if you allow the first one, then you have to allow the second one. So we should, if we're going to do this, then put together some standards for use of it. But anyway, some options for the council to consider. We would like to be able to notify Mrs. Faulkner as soon as possible. So it's the desire of the council to allow the official use or one of the options we posed or another option of your choice.
I have a little bit of a problem with this. Whenever you let somebody use your logo, it reflects upon the city if it's not used properly, used with something that, you know, and I really like to see us maintain control, which is used for the city business myself. But that's the thing I worry about, letting the logo just go out there and we start letting people use it. So that's something I'd like you to consider.
Could we let her use the old logo? I believe it was one that just had this, the red and white tower, and it had vegetables that were grown in the area around the base, and it said a city of Othello.
If that's not the current one that's adopted by the council, sure. I don't see anything wrong with that, Catherine, do you?
Because most people identify Othello with the red and white water tower anyway.
Yeah. It's set up in a very similar manner, but it's just a little bit different. And they adopted this one and got rid of the old one. And
sure, because the council has now adopted this one as the official one. So
I wouldn't have any problem letting her use the old one. And I think it would look very, very similar and do the job that she's looking for it to do.
I have the same thoughts. I think that would be a good idea. It's really close to this one and similarity. And
it shows the agricultural products of the area, like wheat and potatoes, and I think there's a few other things, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Do we need to make a motion if that's not the formal logo?
The motion is only relative to the formal logo, so you don't have to make a negative motion not to use it. So if it's a consensus of the council and direction of the mayor, we will send her a note or letter identifying the discussion. Only for the official logo would require a motion.
Can we give her a picture of the old logo
sure.
so that she could use that?
Sure, if we can find it in the records.
I think they've still got it on the public works letterhead. There used to be truck logos.
Okay.
There was some old public works letterhead when I was down there that had it still on there.
We'll look.
Yeah.
So basically, anybody could use that logo without the city's permission.
As long as it's not the official adopted logo of the city, yes.
As long as it ain't that one.
That's the official
logo. Okay. Yes, as long as it's not that one.
Okay, so it sounds like we have a consensus that you can use the old one or anything else, but not.
Well, I guess we can't say no. I'm with you. I mean, we don't approve her coloring books before they come out, so she could put anything in there. So
right.
But if it's just a picture now and it's not our official logo and we don't have a say on it, then I guess she can have at it.
Mayor's answer direction to the council to notify her. Okay. Thank you.
Good. Okay. 4.7, extraterritorial agreement with Donald R. Pete Johnson. Debbie?
This area that we're talking about. The city entered into a 25-year agreement with Richard L. Johnston, which is dated 1984, which expired in 2009. Since then, we've been working with the property owners to renew the new extraterritorial agreement that has the covenant that goes with the agreement, but there's been several obstacles in getting this complete. There's been a change of property owners, there's been some deaths, there's been an estate. But recently, we've been working with Rick Johnston. His legal name is Donald R. Pete Johnston. Sorry, and we know him as Pete Johnston. Rick was his brother. And we've had an account, a utility account with Pete since 2009. This property is located, Where's that? Here's Highway 26, okay. And here's the canal. And so if you're going out Highway 26 to Royal City, the property is located here. And it includes 3 mobile homes and 1 shop that is not used for commercial business at all. So it is adjacent to the current city limits. Next to TPG. Does that make sense?
Hi.
So the water utility has been connected to the city's system for over 25 years now. So this is not a new impact to our system, it's a continued impact. The engineer's estimate for a normal household is 105 gallons per day per person if not using city water for irrigation. And they have irrigation water from the potholes canal. Even though this property is adjacent to current city limits, staff recommends that we do not annex the property at this time. We will continue to receive water revenue based upon the actual water use, that's metered through the meter, at 150% of the rate for the rate that's inside the city limits. In your packets, you had an extraterritorial agreement, utility extension agreement, covenant running with the land, and power attorney with Mr. Donald R. Pete Johnston, and we do request approval from the council to enter into that new agreement. Are there questions? It's been kind of just hanging out there for a long time.
The TPG, is that what it's called?
Yes.
The cherry, they're in city limits and using city water, correct?
Yes.
Does this this people that want to have the water, are they looped at all, or is it just...
Are they what?
Looped with our system, or does it just go
out
there?
No, it's just in a connection. It's one connection, and then they have the water lines inside the property.
Any further questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the extraterritorial utility extension agreement, covenant running with the land, and power of attorney with Mr. Donald R. Pete Johnston?
I so move.
Okay, Ken Kaler first.
Second.
Ken Johnson second. Any other questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, the same. Okay, that passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Resolution to approve use of Lions Park for America Fiesta Amistad. Debbie.
Okay, city staff has met with representatives with that are organizing the 13th annual American Fiesta Amistad. This is scheduled for Friday, August 12th and Saturday, August 13th. The Friday events, well, both Friday and Saturday, the events are in Lions Park. Friday starts at 5 o'clock. The vendors will open up. There'll be music from 6 to 10. And then the Fiesta Committee is paying for security for overnight patrol on Friday night. Saturday, the events start at noon and will conclude at 10 p.m. They work closely with the police department about the music volume. If they need, the organizers will get the volume of the music down. There will be 2 public works employees working Friday for 2 hours overtime, and 2 public works employees working 8 hours each on Saturday. So the cost from the city is approximately $1,475 for public works employee costs. Porta potties are approximately $500. And the cost for the DOC crew to come and clean up on Sunday is approximately $125. We also provide extra garbage service, and that's approximately $200 for landfill fees. There are representatives here from PSL. We've got Sean Bates and Emil Martinez. If they have any words or if you guys have questions, we'll bring it through them. But staff does recommend that council approve the resolution to authorize use of Lions Park for the American Fiesta Amistad.
Email or Sean, do you want to address the council or? Okay. Any discussion by the council? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the resolution authorizing use of city property for the American Fiesta Amistad schedule on August the 12th and 13th, 2011.
We'll make that motion.
Gina first. Okay. Ken Kaler second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, great, that passes. Okay, dispatch testing agreement with public safety testing. Debbie?
Chief Dunnigan reported that there is a need to test for dispatcher. We did research some different options for dispatch testing. The Othello Civil Service Commission recently authorized testing for dispatch candidates with public safety testing. We know them as PST, public safety testing. PST will advertise and hold written tests at various locations throughout the year for dispatchers. They do it for other communities and other police departments. This process allows candidates to test on the date and at the location that best suits their schedule. PST will be testing in Yakima on September 18th and in the fall in Richland. But there are other numerous opportunities for them to test on the west side. If the contract is approved, they will advise the applicants that just recently tested in Pasco and Ellensburg and let them know that they could have their test scores sent to Othello if they pay that minimum price. So we could be getting some applicants real soon. Once we get the information of those candidates that pass the written test with a score of 70% or better, then we send out the application packet and we set up the civil service oral interviews. In October, we hope to have the civil service commissioners certify a continuous eligibility list, and then the background and hiring process is turned over to the police department. The process with PST creates a continuous eligibility list, and candidates can be added onto that list that may still be on the list. So it is a continuous list like we do have already with the entry-level police officers. It provides a pool of dispatch candidates for the police department. The testing process has been successful for recruiting employment candidates for the police department, and it's also less expensive than city staff conducting the testing process. When we researched different options, the testing process ranged from about $300 to $3,000. We will advertise locally, and we just direct those applicants right to the public safety testing website. Then they look at different locations and times and set up their testing. So the annual contract fee with PST for dispatch is $250. And that was less than what we could find for written tests, which started out about $300. We recommend that the council approve the one-year subscription agreement with public safety testing for dispatcher, and then we'll review the needs during the budget season for 2012. Are there questions about the process or?
Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the one-year subscriber agreement with the public safety testing for dispatcher testing?
I'll make that motion.
Ken Kaler first, do I have a second?
Second.
Who? Charles? Okay, second. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes.
Thank you, Mayor and Council.
Okay, Department of Corrections contract. Eamon?
We have before the City Council a contract with the Department of Corrections relative to providing a work labor force to the city. The elements of the contract are hours of work, number of individuals provided, hourly wages, and mileage charges. Comparing the 2010 and the 2011 contract, the billing rate per hour is the same at $1.45 per offender or per inmate. The crew size is 10, which is consistent. And strangely enough, the mileage rate, if you'll notice, went down from 2010 at 55 cents to 51 cents. And I thought I had that wrong and went back and checked. I told the mayor today I was going to check it again just to be sure. And the mileage rate actually did go down to 51 cents. So with those elements and knowing that the City Council has budgeted in the 2011 budget $20,000, we would ask that you consider approval of the contract.
Questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the Department of Corrections agreement?
So So moved.
Charles first.
Second.
Ken Johnson second. Any further questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes then.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I have any unfinished business? New business? Go ahead.
I have a list. First of all, the pool. We did the right thing. We put pokey things on the lights to keep the seagulls away, but they're all perched on top of the building now. So
I'm glad you noticed that.
We'll see next year what we can do about that. But on the serious side of the pool, as a member of the pool committee, last year we went over budget on the pool, and we really need to be more diligent with that pool. Our first Cascade Gas pool bill, we'll use to heat the pool. The pool opened the 10th. It was open before for swimming. The bill reading was taken on the 15th of June. And the bill was for the pool for to be open for 4 days was $4,686. So something is awry there.
Well, I think unfortunately the weather's been awfully cool and they had to run the heaters a lot.
Well, the
budget, I'm assuming that must be why it's up.
The budget for gas for the pool is $10,000. So I maintain we stick to budget. So I don't know what we got to do, but that's
I think once
sad.
We hit July
that's
and August, we won't be running. I think once we hit July, yeah.
The solar
yeah.
should be taken care
and
of.
And once we hit July, August, I don't think we'll be running the gas very often.
We saw that also, and that was the same explanation. Spring, mm-hmm. As we move into summer, it's still cool. So but that's the explanation. And if we do, we'll need to do a budget then.
I agree with you, but I bet you it's going to level out, and I bet we won't go over that 10,000 mark.
Well, last year we were also over on allocation for water for the pool, and I understand we have new chlorinating systems, so hopefully we won't have to flush as much,
yeah.
But that's what causes your... But we need to be vigilant with that pool. Just because revenues don't cover expenses doesn't mean we don't adhere to budget.
Yeah.
And to your issue of watermark, the crew did find a leak. Yes, they had fixed the leak in the system.
That's good.
My monthly rant about Main Street. I think the contractors are still terrible. They put in the street lights 2 weeks ago, and if you notice, we still got holes in the sidewalks with cones around it, and it's impossible for anybody in a wheelchair or bike to get through on the sidewalks. Just another example of total lack of respect. Those could have been put in 2 weeks ago, the day after they took them out, and I'm patient and just sit and watch, and nothing happens. Eamon talked to him today, and of course it'll be in tomorrow or the next day was the story we got. So the street lights, I don't know if you noticed them putting in, but it looks like the wiring on those things would look like NASA control center, and apparently they're beyond our capabilities, because over the weekend the lights at 14th and 4th were flashing yellow because somehow they misfunctioned. The city was advised on Friday afternoon to about 14th, and apparently we don't have the expertise or people available to fix it because it wasn't fixed. It flashed yellow all weekend.
Which is a good thing. That's a fail-safe system, which is good.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
We also have some board.
2 weeks old that we spent mm-hmm. several thousand dollars for, and they can't keep running for a week.
So yeah. The 14th
wasn't new.
The contractor came out late Friday. And at 7 o'clock, they reported to me that it was functioning. And as they packed up to leave, something else tripped, and it went back to the flashing the colors. They could not determine the problem at 14th. They did it 4th. The circuit board actually fried on 14th, or 4th, happened, and it will take 3 to 4 days to fix 4th. So that light will be blinking for 3 or 4 days.
Are they still under warranty?
Yes.
2 years, isn't it? 2 year warranty?
Sorry?
Is that 2 year warranty?
anyway, you know, before we accept the project, I suggest we make sure our streetlights can go 2 weeks at a time without dizzying. The other thing on Main Street that a citizen who's in the know, I think, on these kind of things, he thinks it's a regulation that the lights line up at the middle of the lanes. And if you go on 11th Street, they're not even close. The stoplight, the signal lights are not even close to being in the middle of the lanes. So if that is some kind of requirement, and even aesthetically, it looks goofy, so.
You said 11?
Yes. Third thing I'd like to talk about is well number 6. And we got that letter. Did we accomplish nothing on the $500,000 we spent on that one? If fluoride levels were at over 5?
At this point, the fluoride levels are high, and that was discussed all along the process that it may or may not clean up the fluoride level. We, the city, have taken the test. We pumped for data wastewater, took the test, resulting in 5.34 fluoride levels. The contractor is also required by the contractor to do the same. He has not done that yet, and that's scheduled for next week, I believe, that I was told. So we'll have to see what that result is. It's not expected to go much lower than that, but we'll see. The other thing on balance, remember, DOD is expected to lower the fluoride level from 4 to 1 parts per million. If it goes to 1, all of our wells will be out of compliance, as well every other city.
Yeah.
So, of course, DOE will have to come up with a plan or program of implementation of that regulation. So we're waiting to see. But Mark, the question that you posed is a good question. Did we spend the money and not get any positive results? And we knew that going along into the process, we may or may not fix the fluoride problem. So I'm not convinced yet that we haven't. On the plus side, the gallons per minute is higher than anticipated, and we haven't got any, a definitive amount because we haven't been able to pump it. But it is well over 2,000 gallons a minute, which is what we hoped.
It's just kind of discouraging.
Yeah, I agree.
Does anybody remember what the count was before we started?
It had been.
My fourth item, apparently the rest of the council doesn't agree with me on the aesthetics, truck parking on our truck routes, especially the streets between Broadway and First, Columbia, Waluke,
Royal.
I think I saw no parking on one of them, but the other one I came through was streets on both sides. And I think it's not only aesthetically bad, it's unsafe. It's like driving through a gauntlet. And I thought I read somewhere we're planning to put no parking on all those streets.
We've done that with Royal. The chief has made a recommendation to put an additional sign up. It has it on the two ends, but he's made a recommendation. We also put one mid-block, which we are now doing, and then we'll follow the other streets.
Okay, so the odds are scheduled to eventually all no truck parking.
Yes, and that was at the council's direction.
Good job, council.
Yeah,
proud of you.
Yeah,
I'm done.
And I know exactly they did the one street, and I almost call them a resident.
I think it might be the one that runs right
Parker,
there.
Parker, that was parking there all the time. It's one particular company. He was even servicing his trucks and everything on that street. I just noticed he moved one street over.
Yeah. Surprise.
Well, which one is Royal?
I'm sorry.
Which street is Royal? I'm trying to think.
Royal. Where is Royal?
Royal.
Which street is it? I'm trying to think.
Where
Lumberman's?
The old radiator shop was now.
Lumberman's. Right between them, right?
Pro-build.
Yep.
Okay. Pro-build.
Okay.
Pro-build. Yeah, I'm all for getting all the trucks off Main Street.
Thank you.
Hey.
That brings up, I got one more. I'm actually following trucks through town. But, you know, it says local deliveries only, and they drive through from 17 through town, and speak of the devil, they end up at Lumberman's. And I guess they think that's a local delivery. So I don't know how we get out of out-of-town truckers to realize you can go around the other way.
It's pro-built.
The way we did that in the past, and pro-built was not in the loop, was to give them maps identifying our truck route and ask them, when they send an order to a vendor, also fax a copy of the truck route map. And that works really nice. And the trucker had to ride his truck.
I didn't get out and talk to, I've talked to truckers before, but I didn't get out and talk to this guy. But I figured he probably thought, well, it's a local delivery, so I can drive down Main Street, so.
Any other new business?
I have a question. Next week, are you guys meeting on Tuesday or not at all? Do you know?
We're heading that direction to find out.
I've got a request, Eamon. Do you think we could get an update on how the contractor for Main Street is doing on the punch list? Where we are at on that?
I did talk to the engineers about that today, but I could hodgepodge and tell you, and I'll get a written percentage or breakdown, strikeout or something.
Thank you. And also, I got one thing on the pool. I had a request from several women when I was at the pool with my kids. Could we please get a clock put up somewhere at the pool? A big clock, you know, round analog that you can read and know what time it is. I guess that they were, one of the ladies I talked to was told that last year that, well, they had a clock, but it broke and the city wouldn't pay for another one.
That's because we spent $4,000 in gas.
Yeah. If you put my name on it, I'll buy it.
The clock.
Okay. I'll buy it. I said I'll buy it. That's a, you buy a $3 clock at Walmart, and if it breaks, you send it in with $5, and they'll fix it. So.
Any other?
Well, I would suggest getting a big enough one that you can see it across the pool. You know, one of those big. There's nothing. There is nothing up there. They're, you know, just, you know, a big, big, sure. It's, I remember when I used to go swimming as a kid, there was a big, huge round clock that was, you know, it was probably an electric one that was wired in so you could see it.
Good idea, though. Good idea. Any other new business? Okay, Mayor's announcements. Monsanto will hold their grand opening celebration on Thursday, June 30th. From 9 to 11:30 a.m. at the location at 1485 West Cunningham Road. That's where Booker crosses right in there. So if anybody can make it, that'd be great. Number two, as the Independence Day holiday falls on Monday this year, the agenda for July 5th, which is Tuesday, is Fire District Report, Monthly Investment Report, and Change of Speed Limit on 14th Avenue. None of those are pressing, so I want to ask the council if we can cancel that meeting. It's going to take us a whole 10 minutes to do that. So, wait, that's a workshop, isn't it? Never mind, I guess we're not voting. That's a workshop. But we'll move all that forward to the next meeting, if that's okay with council.
I have no problem with it. That's
okay.
Great.
So there's your question answered. Number three, any council members who have air data cards for internet access on their laptops need to bring their AT&T cards and their laptop into City Hall immediately. The new Verizon ones are out, so we need to switch you over and take it to Stan when you do. And number four, there will be a siren test this Thursday at 1 p.m. You got that in the mail? In the paper, I mean? This test is for emergency notification. We haven't ran it in a long time, so we're going to see what it does when we turn it on. Any other announcements we can think of? Council, any other announcements or anybody know of any? Mark?
I have a happy 4th of July.
Yeah. Independence Day, yes.
I'm not going there.
Okay, we're now going to go into executive session, so we will adjourn to an executive session to discuss property purchases. We'll be in executive session approximately 50 minutes. So it'll be about 9 o'clock probably when we come out. So, and then we re-adjourn, we'll reopen the meeting.
How many minutes,
50. Aim at 50. We want Terry.
They said 15.
Okay.
I think there's a real...